Michael Bennett and Andy Plummer began learning about golf theory, as they say, out of necessity. They were professional golfers who wanted to become outstanding players themselves, yet they found it difficult to improve consistently. Subsequently, they sought out many of the game's best instructors. At times, their advice was just what they needed to improve. However, there were also times of steep decline in their progress that made little or no sense given the amount of time that they were dedicating to practicing. This revealed to them that there was a lack of order in the understanding of the game of golf. They, out of necessity, began organizing the swing based on advice received from noted teacher Mac O'Grady and based on principles laid out in Homer Kelly's book, The Golfing Machine. There's a lineage to this. This process resulted in a system of understanding and organizing the game of golf that would later be referred to as the stack and tilt. The goal of the system is to present golf as a progressive set of workable challenges to the beginning players while also being broad enough to differentiate the smallest variations on any other player, regardless of ability level, up to the best in the world. That's their bio. Andy and Mike are with us right now. What's going on, guys? How are you?
Good morning, Matt.
Good morning, Matt. Thank you for having us.
I'm delighted to have you on the show. Let me ask you this first of all. Stack and tilt. We just got the official bio on how it happened. The first question I have for you guys, when did it happen? How long have you been at it?
Well, almost 20 years.
Yeah.
I guess, since we've been holding a golf club, I guess, if you look at it in one sense, Matt. So, but as like Mike said, as players and then instructors, 20 years.
All right, so here's a question I have for you, because many people are still under the impression, there was an intent in that question, many people are still under the impression that the stack and tilt is somehow some new philosophy. How much of the principles that you are teaching, you talked about it in that bio, how much are these principles something that have always been inherently part of great golfers, whether we recognize it at the time or not? Now I'm talking now decades of history.
Any? All of them?
I would say
all of it. I don't think that Mike and I have invented anything other than to just try to organize it in some way that's useful for the player.
Right.
I would say the rules of geometry and physics have been around since the days of Isaac Newton.
All right, so if you guys could, for us, individually, collectively, however you want to do it, could you actually explain to us in this forum to millions of golfers, let me lay it out there very simply, what is the stack and tilt?
Mike, you want me to take it or do you want to take it?
Well, first, to that would start with following up the first question. I would call it an accurate description of a classic golf swing first. And then the function of it is to hit the ground in the same spot in front of the ball every time with enough power to play the golf course in the fewest strokes and have a predictable curve on the ball. In its most basic, that's what we're how the angle we're approaching it at.
Anything else to put on there?
Well, I would just say that from that what we've built is a, like we said, a system to help the golfer organize what controls those variables that Mike presented there. And that system should be a measurable set of tasks that a golfer can start to really note their improvement from.
You know, all the greats have said that a great golf shot is measured by the flight of the golf ball. Could you talk to us, and Michael started talking about that when he was talking about how you measure this return. Talk to us about the flight of the golf ball and the purity of contact when one is coming into contact with the golf ball in the proper spot.
I would just say that the rules of the ball flight, Matt, are just like the rules of the swing, are being redefined, and that's really what this is all. How this really got started was the basic understanding of the ball's flight, and that being the ball flight laws as they were presented for 100 years have largely been misunderstood, and we're at a point in time in where technology, Doppler radar technology, high speed photography has been applied to golf. And what we found is that the ball flight laws, the way that most people understand them, are largely incorrect. And that's in the industry of teaching golf, that's created a huge controversy. And I think that that's out of that came a clearer understanding of how the ball flies, and it'll allow the instructors to become much more proficient in helping grow the game.
Why has it created a controversy?
I don't think anybody really wants to be wrong, so to speak. But, like I said, now we have, so the controversy is, comes when there's new technologies applied in anything. Sometimes old rules are validated, and sometimes they're not. So I would just say that the real controversy around the ball flight laws just comes from the amount of time that have been invested in the old way of thinking.
You guys have a new DVD out just this year, do you not?
We do.
What's the name of that one?
Understanding the Numbers, Stack and Tilt 2.0.
And this is this your second DVD that you guys have put out?
Yeah, it is. It is, Matt. The first one was really put the golf swing in a historical context with photographs that organized the progression of the swing. And this one takes the contemporary technology and applies it into a way, and uses it in a way as to make the ball flight laws understandable and usable to the public.
Where can people pick up these DVDs and any of your stuff? Where can they get it? How can they contact you guys?
Mike?
They can, our website, stackandtilt.com, they can get it there. We're going to do some more marketing very soon, but that's where they can get it right now, stackandtilt.com.
Stackandtilt.com is where you guys can get more information on what Michael and Andy are doing, stackandtilt.com. Okay, guys, here's the question I have for you. Whenever we're talking about someone taking a new approach to their swing, and I know what I'm going to tell you, you're going to be incredibly familiar with as teachers of the game. People are many times willing to subsist with mediocrity because they fear the process of going through the improvement of their swing. Do you know what I'm talking about? They're worried about the two steps back to take one step forward. If you could talk to us about what it's like when you get a player and you say, look, I want to teach you this method because it's going to make you a better striker of the golf ball, and what that process is like.
Can I start with that, Andy?
Pardon me, Mike.
First thing, Matt, when we talk to any player and we explain what they need, they're interested, they ask us what they need to do, we tell them the first thing for that person to improve. And we tell them if they don't sprint in within three shots, then we're not telling them the right piece.
Really?
So you should never be going backwards before you go forwards if you're doing the pieces in the right order.
But you said within three shots, you're going to see something that they go, wow, I see it, I feel it, I get it, I connected.
Yeah, they should see the piece that the part that they're the weakest in, they should see an improvement in that piece immediately if you explain it clearly what they need to do.
All right, one of the big things, guys, and I'm going down this same line here of thought. You guys know better than anybody that one of the big things that amateur golfers are running into is hitting the ball fat. And I know that your method speaks to that directly, and I wonder if you could explain to us how and why.
Well, that's the first measurable difference, Matt, between good golfers and bad, is being able to control where the club, to be able to swing and control where the club hits the ground. So those are the first things that any golfer should recognize and be able to master. So, and there's really, that's a simple equation, if you think about it, because all the good golfers are able to do it every time. So, really part of what Stack and Tilt is all about is being able to explain how where the weight is positioned and how the hand's relationship to the leading edge of the club control the swing in such a way as to make the club hit the ground forward enough. you can Matt, you can measure good golfers and differentiate them from poor ones by how far forward on the ground they hit and what that dispersion is. So it's really a simple equation of, and that's really how keeping the weight forward really became a big part of our system.
When you talk about a stack and tilt golf swing, I think it would be a celebration of the obvious to say that it begins with one's fundamentals. But nonetheless, for these purposes in this forum, can we start there? Can you take us through a stack and tilt golf swing and how you build it with a player?
You started the question, Matt. The first thing you have to do is be able to hit the ground in the same spot. That's the first fundamental. When Mike and I were taught golf, the fundamentals were presented to us as grip and alignment and posture. But there's no uniform golfer that demonstrates those elements uniformly. But they do demonstrate the first fundamental of hitting the ground in the same spot. So that's the first level of mastery. And the second level would be to be able to do that and hit the ball far enough to play the game effectively. In other words, it does no good to just hit the ground in the same spot and chip the ball around 50 yards. You've got to be able to hit the ball a long way to, while still hitting the ground in the same spot. And once a golfer can do that, then a golfer needs a predictable pattern, some sort of predictable curve. And that's really the level that starts to separate the highly adapted golfer, is some sort of predictable curve. And it's frankly the one that varies the most on the tour. They pass the first two standards every time, and the guys that are at the top of the leaderboard are doing a little bit better at number three, on that particular week. So that's the way we would arrange it. It's a simple outline, and you can put as much detail into each one of those as you want or need.
Michael, why is it called stack and tilt?
With the first article we did in Golf Digest, turned out to be 17 pages, and they finished the article, and they asked us to have a name for the article or the swing, and we never called it anything for 15 years, but they insisted on it, so they gave us about 60 names to pick from: front loader, all these
left
crazy
leaner,
names.
And line.
Charlie Lee sitting at the table while we're having this discussion with the editor, and he threw the name Tilt and Stack, because we use those words in our description when we're teaching to keep the shoulder axis stable. And so that we use those words, we liked it. We said we could use those, and the editor flipped it around and said Stack and Tilt, and that's how it was born.
Do you find that if there are different entities out there, and you used the word controversy earlier, that malign the approach, are they doing it because of just not understanding how the approach works?
I would say that's probably 90% of it right there, because a lot of people that were more combative a few years ago have become some of our best friends and completely understand what we're saying. The other hurdle with that, Matt, is because of the three-dimensional description of the swing. The photographers and for the article and the photographers and the people who directed the commercial couldn't see the left tilt that we were describing with the camera just sitting in one spot. So they ended up having the players exaggerate and have their heads move forward and tilt further left than they would at that point in the swing to make the point clear in the picture. And we argued with that all the way to the time it was published, but they insisted on having it. And I think that added to the confusion. You know, the commercial on stack got people moving their head and shoulders down and forward. We don't teach that at all. We just know that every good golfer has a left tilt to keep their head still from not raising up as they're extending on their backswing. So it's not really a stack and tilt thing at the end of the day. It's an everybody thing that's any good.
What's the sweetest sound to you guys? And I know that sounds strange to a lot of people. When you're talking to guys that teach the game, sound has so much to do with it. What's that sweetest sound like to you guys when you know that a player is, I'm not necessarily talking about the best in the world, but I'm talking about anybody that you teach. You know that they've really connected and you hear that ball compress.
Mike. Well, I mean, I think it's anybody that's been around the game is familiar with the sound, and we, I think, expect that sound when we tell the person what to do to hit the ball solid. So I think, you know, obviously some players hit the ball harder than others, and it makes a little different sound, but I think the contact of hitting the ball and then the turf is so familiar to us, it's just something I expect.
Stackandtilt.com, guys, is where you can get more information on everything that they're doing. Contact them today, including their DVDs, everything that Mike and Andy have. Guys, thank you so much for your time. Let's have you back in another 4 or 5 weeks and take calls from listeners. This was a great first step for all of us to understand what's happening. I am excited about it. So thank you to Michael. Thank you to Andy. We'll take you to break, folks, and come back with more. Stay with us.